Good afternoon. Thanks for coming out here a little early. I've got a meeting with the president. A few of us do at a little after 1 o'clock, so I'm going to try to practice some brevity today. We'll see if that works out. Let me give you a quick run through of the week ahead. At 6:30 a.m. tomorrow morning, the president will announce his Supreme Court nominee. Gotcha. I'm done. That's obviously a joke, but I did love to see that somebody can quickly text me the name of a chiropractor because at least four dozen necks snapped in one direction. All right. So, don't worry, you'll get a text message. It's cool. Let me give you the real week ahead. The president will travel to Camp David tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. He will return to the White House on Monday morning and participate in a wreath-laying ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington. That ceremony starts at about 10:30 a.m. on Monday. After the ceremony, he will return to Camp David and be with his family and come back to the White House at 7:30 on Monday night. On Tuesday, the president will attend meetings here at the White House. In the afternoon, I think around 3:30, he departs for Las Vegas, where he will attend a fundraiser for Senator Harry Reid. On Wednesday, the president, say again? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. On Wednesday, the president will hold an event in Las Vegas before departing for Los Angeles. He will attend a DNC fundraiser in the evening there. The president departs Los Angeles Thursday morning and returns to Washington. He will meet Palestinian President Abbas at the White House that afternoon. And on Friday, the current schedule has the president attending meetings at the White House. One other quick announcement. On Saturday and Sunday, between 6:30 and 10:30 p.m. at the White House, there will be some practice landings for Marine One. And I just want to announce that so that nobody thinks either the president has come back early or there is anything other than routine practice for Marine One pilots.
Robert, so. What's that Nevada event besides the fundraiser?
The one on Wednesday? Will be on the economy.
And in L.A., there's nothing other than the DNC event?
Just the DNC event, yep. All right. Mr. Babington?
Thank you. Robert, will the president be interviewing any candidates for the Supreme Court job, either in person or by phone, from Camp David this weekend?
I have not been given anything on that, so I don't know the answer to that.
Can you give us some idea of how he's going to be there quite a while and returning on Monday? Give us some idea of how he's using the weekend, particularly vis-a-vis the Supreme Court?
I can talk to him and see. I think he's looking forward to spending Memorial Day weekend with his family. I don't doubt that he'll take some reading along with him and work on his selection.
Would it be possible to, before the day is out, to get us some idea?
Let me get a little readout on that for you.
Brett Warner?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Government bond prices have been falling and dollar value is falling as well. Concerns about a possible cut in the government's credit rating, AAA credit rating?
No. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Is the president concerned that his policies may be leading toward a downgrade in the U.S. credit ratings and is considering anything to allay those fears?
No, we're not concerned about a change in our credit rating. What the president is focused on and has been since coming into office, was getting in place a recovery plan that will create jobs and get this economy moving again. Short term, the way to bring down the deficit is get this economy moving again. Medium to long term, we have to get our fiscal house back in order, and that's why the president was pleased that Congress passed a budget that cuts the deficit in half in 4 years. So I think the president recognizes we have to make progress to get our fiscal house in order, to get Congress back and Congress and the executive branch back on a pay-as-you-go system and to make some progress. Yes, ma'am.
Robert, yesterday the president outlined these five categories for Guantanamo detainees. Mm-hmm. And the fifth one that he was talking about, he said, is really complex, very hard to determine exactly what should be done. Another official said that this is basically just the framework of a plan. In other words, it looks very, very undefined. Isn't this throwing into jeopardy the president's plan to shut down Guantanamo by the deadline that he set?
No. I think I've been asked this question. I've had the opportunity to answer this question 5 days in a row. And
but realistically, after that speech, we heard nothing specifically from the president on how they could be treated, other than they might be detained indefinitely.
You mean in basket number five?
Yes.
Well, what the president, I think, outlined quite clearly in the plan was, we obviously have rules relating to war, but instead of, I mean, the whole theme of the speech was, what we have right now at Guantanamo doesn't work. We have ad hoc patchwork of legal theories, some being undone by courts across our country today. What the president wants to do with the fifth basket, as he termed it, of detainees, is work with Congress and the courts to ensure that whatever system is set up is done through a means where, in using a phrase that he's used many times, somebody watches the watcher. I think what got us into a series of the hasty decisions that the president talked about yesterday was one person or one group of people thought they alone had a legal theory that could govern all of what we did at Guantanamo Bay. We found that that's not working. We found that courts have ruled by judges appointed by the very administration that set that up, have decided that they don't have the authority to do some of the things that they're doing, or they have to grant certain rights to detainees, or they don't have the evidence to hold them for what they've been charged with. That's why we're in this mess. But Jill, if the president didn't read to you a piece of legislation yesterday about basket number five, it's because he intends to work with Congress and to ensure that a process complies with the laws of our country in order to make progress. But the notion that we're not making progress on this, I think, is disputed. I'm guessing that your network's done stories on our decision on military commissions. I'm guessing your network's done stories on the decision of the Justice Department to transfer a detainee to New York 11 years after committing a series of violent acts to bring them to justice. So the notion that progress isn't being made, I think, just isn't borne out by the facts.
Yeah, but this is something new. This is holding somebody indefinitely.
No, unfortunately, Jill, it's not something new.
Well, I shouldn't
We've
say
been
that.
Doing it for going
Let's
on
go back
7 years.
To American traditional legal approaches. So aren't
How's
you?
How's it different than the? I don't think it's. Let me just state for the umpteenth time, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, and but the if somebody is picked up on a battlefield, you can detain that person for the length of the conflict. I think that's fairly well established. But again, what the president wants to do is something that meets with agreement across a broad spectrum of people in Congress. I think that's what's important, that somebody, as he has said on any number of government things, that somebody has to watch the watchers, that not one person or one group of people is going to make a decision and justify it legally, that they're going to work within a process that does this stuff adequately. Yes, sir.
About the great debate yesterday, how does the president feel about having Cheney speaking on the same day? In a way, is he pleased that you had these speeches in such sharp relief that it gave the public a chance to say, okay, here's column A, here's column B, and to compare? And also, how does the president feel about the propriety of a vice president who has just only recently left office speaking out? President Bush said he was not going to for a while. Mm-hmm. Presidents usually keep pretty quiet that first year after leaving office. Are there different rules for vice presidents? What are your thoughts?
The second one is a good question. I don't know what the rules are. I mean, obviously, anybody is free to speak. I think many, as well as you have, noted that The president and the vice president have taken different tacks since leaving office about what they're going to do and what they're going to say. And as I said yesterday, watching Vice President Cheney, it appears as if he's extending an argument that my sense was had inside these walls for many years during the administration in which he served as vice president. I think the president, in terms of yesterday's speeches side by side, I think the president I think the president is not going to shy away from a debate on these issues. I think that was evident yesterday, and I think he always thinks it's helpful for the American people to be able to see, as you said, side by side, what the competing debate and narratives are. I don't think that's anything he's going to shy away from. I think both would understand that these are complex issues, big decisions that have to be made, that the president's going to do all in his power to keep the American people safe. And but he is strongly committed to the notion that we're going to change the way we conduct our foreign policy.
And he sees nothing inappropriate in what the former vice president says.
I mean, I think the president would leave it up to the vice president to determine what he wants to do. Helen?
The president is being accused of hypocrisy because he's following in the footsteps of President Bush.
I didn't see that from the vice president yesterday, but maybe I had the TV down low.
Well, Krauthammer and some of the other pundits say that he's adopting all of the Bush policies.
I haven't read some of those columns today. I don't. It seemed to me the thrust of the vice president's speech yesterday was regarding enhanced interrogation techniques that the president outlawed. So I'm not entirely sure what the logic is. If one watches the vice president, I did not get the impression that he strongly thought we were following in the footsteps of his boss.
Some people to even have due process.
Pardon me?
Not allowing some of the prisoners to have due process.
No, well, that's, again, a system that can be worked out that provides people their rights. The president has long agreed with that, and again, therein lies part of why we're in this. Remember, this whole thing got set up. The original military commission idea that was ultimately struck down by the Supreme Court, and then the renewed the legislation that the Bush administration passed and signed, that got struck down, as you said, largely because the Supreme Court held on two occasions that legally it didn't match the requirements in the Constitution. That's I think that would be is a pretty good answer in some of the ways that we're doing things differently than people who say we're simply following in footsteps.
Well, hasn't the president put people vacations in harm's way by allowing loaded guns in national parks?
Look, obviously that is a piece of legislation that we're going to sign today, and think it's whether or not Congress, whether or not the, I mean, obviously it's not related to the credit card reforms, and I don't know individually how the president views the legislation, but thinks overall the credit card reform bill is important for consumers and should be signed.
Important enough to sign the bill?
Yes.
On loaded guns?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Given the vote on Capitol Hill on Guantanamo, and given the dueling speeches yesterday that were kind of given equal billing by a lot of folks, I think the conventional wisdom in the pundit class is that for the first time this president is on the defensive and maybe even losing a public relations battle. What's your take on that?
It's been about 3 years since I agreed with the conventional wisdom, and I don't know why. I can't think of a good reason to start today. Look, the president has said these are complex and difficult situations, complex and difficult decisions that have to be made. I think anybody that thinks this is going to be easy, I've said this before, Guantanamo Bay was set up more than 7 years ago. It wasn't going to get undone overnight. But the president strongly believes that we have to change the way this country pursues its foreign policy, that we have to, there are good reasons for our foreign policy and for our the safety of our men and women that we close the prison at Guantanamo Bay, and he intends to keep that promise.
He is on the defensive.
You know, so the pundits have something to do over the weekend. I'd let them. I'll be hiking in Virginia, and they can punditize away. That's fine with me. Yes, sir.
Did you call me sir? No, you didn't.
I may have accidentally.
It's the purple.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Okay. First of all, will you rule out that you might do a Supreme Court announcement next week?
I just said it was going to be 6:30 tomorrow. No, I'm not going to get into scheduling announcements.
Okay. On Guantanamo, you were just talking to Jill about it. Are you saying, under no uncertain terms, there is no way the president will allow the closure of Guantanamo to take place any later than January 22nd, 2010?
That's what the executive order bearing his signature says.
And so he is not open to a delay, even if he had that recommendation from his task force.
Well, I think you're now into a series of hypotheticals that don't exist. Yes.
First on funding. Last week, the special relationship with Israel was discussed. How far is the U.S. willing to go if there are hostilities between Israel and Iran, if Israel's existence is threatened? Will the U.S. come to Israel's aid at that point?
Well, continuing the line of hypotheticals that I'm not going to get into, obviously, you saw last week, earlier this week, the continuation, as you said, of the special relationship between Israel and the United States, but I think you saw leaders that agree that we have to engage with Iran in convincing them to live up to their responsibilities to and forego their nuclear ambitions. But I'm not going to get into hypotheticals. Yep.
What kind of reading material is he taking to Camp David on the Supreme Court?
I will endeavor per Mr. Babington to get you the subject matter that he might be looking at. I have not seen his briefcase.
Would it be something as detailed as reports on individual possible choices? Would it be Supreme Court history? What are we talking
about?
Right.
I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to get you. I will endeavor to get you a little bit broader readout per Mr. Babington.
Okay.
If I could just go back to schedule, but you don't anticipate anything being added to schedule on Wednesday?
No.
No announcements.
No. None that I've been apprised of.
Wednesday,
no.
Just nice and quiet all day.
No. I mean, Wednesday is there's an event in
in the morning.
Right.
And then,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then
yeah. All right, that was your question? Good. You're okay. All right.
Robert, this morning Secretary Gates said that any detainees brought to the United States can be safely housed at one of the supermax prisons in the United States, or if not there, we'll build a new one. Is that a signal that those who live in states where supermax facilities currently exist are likely to receive detainees, or is the administration also open, as the Secretary suggested, to building a new supermax facility?
Well, I think... Right. Well, I think what you saw and heard the Secretary do and say was to list the options by which the task force is going through right now.
Those would be the two options.
I think that's probably right.
Attention.
Yeah. Okay. There are a series of, as the President said, baskets, who we can move to reformed military commissions, who we can try in Article III courts, and so on and so forth. The first thing that the task forces are doing is going through the individual cases, having prosecutors go through them, determining how best to bring about that justice. Right. And I think the important thing is, is the Secretary mentioned the same thing that the President did. Because we have some very bad people in those prisons right now that are in prison safely and securely away from the American people.
So if you are in a state that has a supermax facility, you should be under the impression now that it is likely that detainees will be coming to that facility.
Well,
one of those facilities as possible.
It's I think if you live in a, well, if you live within
a, that is because right. The construction timeline for a supermax facility based on the ones that have already been built is about 3.5 years,
right.
Which is not obviously enough
within,
lead time
yes.
To conform to the president's deadline
that,
of closing Guantanamo.
That I can agree with.
Yes.
Look,
so
my guess is that
are the most likely point of entry for detainees sent to the United States, at least for the foreseeable immediate future. Correct?
Yes, but I would also say that I think if you live around one of those communities, you probably, in some places, already have some of those people.
Okay. To follow up on the indefinite detention. Does the president believe that the authorization of force in Afghanistan mm-hmm. provides the legal authority for indefinite detention of those captured on the battlefield, or does he believe he needs some separate, as you've implied, congressional buy-in on indefinite detention of those who fall into the fifth basket that Jill was discussing?
Let me discuss specifically that with the counsel's office. I think
theorists who say the authorization of force does provide the president the legal authority.
Right, right. No, I've heard that argument. I've heard, but I think what's important is the president would want to work through this with Congress and ensure that whatever was done met the test of could obviously hold up legally.
And to the criticism from human rights groups that indefinite detention can never be justified, you would say what?
Well, the president takes very seriously the oath of office that he took to protect the American people. There may be cases, as the president said, where somebody received explosives training from Al-Qaeda or commanded Taliban troops. But these detainees are, based on any number of circumstances, unable to be tried. But still pose an obvious threat to this country. I would say that's a scenario by which we'd ensure that the safety and security of the American people is upheld.
Thanks,
Robert. Yeah. Do you have a question? You're good? I got you yesterday, Ross, so let me go. Yes, sir.
Robert, for the sake of argument, is there anything that prevents the president from, in effect, telling Congress to keep its $90 million and keep Guantanamo open as a camp, but depopulating the holding cells piecemeal? Doesn't the executive have that power if he wants to?
Help me understand. Are you basically saying you can keep Guantanamo, you just don't house people there?
But the president, the executive branch, has the power to move those prisoners, doesn't he?
I'm a little out of my depth legally here. I would have to... I assume that's the case. I don't know. I guess what I say legally here, I think obviously I'd have to look at the exact wording of what was in a supplemental, what ultimately came out of the supplemental, which I know is not yet finished. So, yes.
Thanks. Could you talk a little bit about what the president is going to be doing over the next week and a half or whatever it is to prepare for the big speech in Cairo? Is the speech already written, or at least does he know what he's going to say? Are you willing to give us a preview of how broad it will be and to what extent it will tackle the Mideast process? And as people like President Abbas come in, is he previewing with them, or will he do calls by phone with other Mideast leaders and Arab leaders? Is he giving them a specific or general sense of what he's going to be saying and asking for buy-in in advance?
Well, I think he will. I think in many ways this process has been ongoing for months as part of his outreach, as part of his phone calls and meetings around long-term Mideast peace. The goal is to be, you know, I guess partly to clear some of this up, this will be a broader speech about our relationship with Muslims around the world. I know there's been some conjecture that in included in this speech will be some detailed, comprehensive Mideast peace plan, and that is not the intention, nor was it ever the intention of this speech. As I said a few days ago, I mean, obviously it'd be difficult to give a speech and not touch on this subject. I think that would be that wouldn't work. But the notion that it will be the sole focus of the speech is not the case.
Clarify, are you also ruling out Fran Beth's sole focus, that within this broader speech, he is not going to say, and here's what I want to do with the city of Jerusalem, and here's what
well,
I want?
As you know, Margaret, those are final status issues that the parties themselves have agreed to work out in whatever negotiation would be had. That's not something for the president to intone. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Robert. Turning to the domestic front, Governor Barbour of Mississippi was in Washington earlier this week. As you know, he's one of the governors who has declined portions of the stimulus package that he feels would lead to increased taxes. He was referring specifically to the money that's going to unemployment compensation, and he said he would speak to federal officials with the hopes of possibly changing the rules so he could accept the money without an increased tax. In other words, where it wouldn't be an unfunded mandate. Any progress made on that? And
I will check with OMB to see if Governor Barbour has spoken with anybody. I don't have any information that he's spoken with anybody about that.
The other thing I wanted to ask, President Obama is now has the most Republicans in high administration positions of any Democratic president since Franklin D. Roosevelt. And can we expect similar announcements such as that about Governor Huntsman? And I'm referring to a major diplomatic appointment for former Senator Hagel of Nebraska in the next 2 weeks.
I do not have anything specific on former Senator Hagel. Obviously, the president has great respect for Senator Hagel. I don't have anything specific personnel-wise on that. I will say that the president will continue to and hopes to add more Republicans to the administration. That's something he talked about extensively in the campaign, and something that that he thinks is important in creating a government that's truly representative of the people. Yes, sir.
Following up on Margaret's question there on final status talks, Prime Minister Netanyahu has just said that Jerusalem will be the forever undivided capital of Israel. Does the administration see this as prejudging final status talks?
Well, I don't think it makes a lot of sense for me to get ahead of or get involved in, at this point, issues that they've agreed to resolve during later negotiations.
Robert, back on the Muslim speech, and just on the Muslim outreach, we know that the president reads a lot of correspondences from the American people. Can you tell us some of the notes or comments that he's gotten good, bad, or indifferent on his outreach to the Muslim world, trying to change the image of the U.S. in the Muslim world?
I have not seen anything. He's not shared with me or specific notes or letters on that. So I could have to go. I'd go back and look for correspondence.
The reason why I'm asking, you know, there was a big kind of shock and awe almost when people heard that he was making this outreach. And, you know, this president has prided himself on getting this blue envelope and reading all the questions or comments from the American public. And I would be very interested to hear about the correspondence if he is reading what people are saying about his outreach to the Muslim world.
I'll check on that today, Josh.
Robert, can you say, does the president feel so strongly about closing Guantanamo that he would move unilaterally if Congress appeared to be moving towards tying his hands fiscally or otherwise with what he could do down there? Would the president be willing to move unilaterally to transfer people to a military base or some other facility in the U.S.? And as a related to that, given what the Senate vote was the other day, isn't bringing Mr. Gailani, I believe his name is, to New York at a time when the Senate has voted that they don't think anybody should be transferred to U.S. soil, flying in the face of the will of the Senate at a minimum?
Well, I think we would, again, I think some of these issues ultimately have to be worked out based on whatever final language appears in legislation. It's far too early to get into this notion of what you would do unilaterally. I think the president believes that he can work with Democrats and Republicans on an issue that many of them agree has to be addressed. And as I said this, I've said this many days, and I'll keep trying. Some of these issues have to be dealt with not because of an executive order that was signed on the 22nd of January, but by legal cases that require some action. This notion that, I think the notion that we could put off dealing with this indefinitely, that I think is something that the president would reject, because like I said, each and every day there are legal maneuverings on both sides relating to this. So, but I think the president believes that there are people that he can work with on both sides of the aisle in working with them through a more detailed plan about how to keep this promise.
Clarifying on the credit agents, on the credit ratings, you don't think they will be cut, or you wouldn't be concerned if they were?
I don't believe they will be.
Thank
yeah.
you.
Yes.
Robert, on the signings today, I'm wondering, the president had pledged to put bills up on the web for 5 days before he signed legislation. Is that just pretty much out the window with this?
I think we posted conference reports several days in advance. I can get you the exact days.
The conference reports
that after they're voted on become the engrossed legislation that's delivered here that the president ultimately signs that becomes public law.
So you said, is that a finalized version of it that went on?
Well, a conference report, as you know, is an unamendable piece of legislation that has to be approved by both houses. Language has to be simultaneous. It gets sent down here and we sign it. So if a conference report is if something is delineated as a conference report, or if there's not a conference committee and there's a separate piece of legislation, if the Senate passes a bill, if the House and Senate pass different versions of the bill and the House agrees to accede to the Senate version, then the Senate version might be put up before the House votes on it. Once they vote on it, both houses have passed identical legislation, and it comes down here.
So it's effectively a finalized version that just hasn't been completed.
Well, it's not effectively. It legally is, yes.
Okay.
Back to Guantanamo, in reference to European nations that you are negotiating with to take in some of these detainees, have they expressed any kind of reservation or any kind of concern in reference to this not-in-my-backyard movement or sentiment in the Senate in terms of, they might say, well, if the U.S. isn't going to take in some of these detainees, why should we?
Well, I got a similar question to this either yesterday or the day before, and I would direct you to Justice and State, because both the Attorney General and the Secretary of State, I know, have been on discussing this directly with foreign counterparts.
And the second question, the task force that's supposed to report back to the President by July in reference to matters relating to Guantanamo, is it your sense that that is still on track?
Yes. I'll take one more back here. Yep.
Yeah, when the President had announced his AFPAC policy 2 months ago, he had called for engaging India and Pakistan in constructive diplomacy. Now you have a new government in India. Can you give us a sense of how the President wants to engage both countries with a nuclear power, reducing the tension?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously, he's in the past few weeks been very involved in our discussions with Pakistan as it related to the meetings that were held here. And obviously we've seen reports recently of, without getting into any details, of intelligence sharing, which I think denotes important cooperation that we think is needed on both sides in order to ensure peace and stability in the region. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.